Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. I don't think that was enough applause for what God did, you?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
God is good to us, isn't he?
Amen.
What a wonderful, yeah, all the time. What a wonderful report that is. Amen. Now you know why we invest in young people. So that when we get old, they can push our wheelchairs around. Amen? We're not stupid here. We know what we're doing. Well, God is good. You know, when you have dreams and visions on what you think God wants to use you for and do, you never, ever, ever know how he's going to do it. Amen? And that's to the benefit of the believer, that if you knew what was ahead of you, first of all, most of you wouldn't go. and then if he were to give you all the advance notice you wanted to and the time for preparation, you would still not be ready when it was time. And so God does it his way, and usually it is a surprise and a wonder and an adventure. And so that's what I appreciate about the way God does things in our personal lives, in our church life, and in every area of our lives. God is very focused and very concerned about every part of our lives. And I just wish Christians would understand that, get that down inside them, because so often we get that sporadically. We go from one crisis to the next, and sporadically we get this understanding that God is doing something, but we just probably haven't given him enough time to get it done. Or I know it doesn't happen in our church, but you know, some Christian people out there actually interfere with what God is doing. Have you ever, oh God, help my young son or daughter that's on dope, and then you just keep giving them money and supplying them help. And I don't know about you, that don't make any sense to me, you know. So sometimes we interfere with what God's doing, and we need to just let God have his way. And that's a process. I understand there's a learning curve in that, but I sure wish I would have learned it a lot sooner than I did learn it. But God has always been faithful. Tell me, I want you to raise your hand this morning if God has not been faithful to you. Right, God has been faithful, hasn't he?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can raise your hand on that one. He's been faithful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. I'm going to take a few verses out of an interesting interaction Jesus had with some people that may be an encouragement to you this morning. One of the things that we've always tried to do in this church, from every level, we've encouraged every level of ministry in this church, every area of ministry in this church to do so. But one of the things that we believe in this church and have tried to preach is that there's liberty and there is freedom and there is power in knowing Jesus Christ and in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And our biggest enemy is not Satan. Do you know that? Our biggest enemy is right here. And so sometimes it's what you think about God that is a problem. Sometimes what you think about others is a problem. Sometimes what you think about yourself is a problem because you have wrong thinking and wrong attitudes. And you've believed, perhaps, there is some effort on the part of the enemy, you've believed a lie. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the devil told you the lie. You may be lying to yourself about who you are in Christ and what is available to you as a Christian and how you can and should walk as a Christian. You know, God doesn't just make demands on you and then not help you reach those goals or give you strength or encouragement or help in reaching a goal, which, by the way, you could not achieve without him. Does that make sense? And so sometimes our resistance to him prevents us from receiving the kind of blessings we really want and desire him to do in our lives, probably because sometimes we think we know better than God does. Amen? That is kind of the conversation that's going on in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, and I want to read a few verses for you. And while you're turning there, I encourage you this morning that sometimes the way you approach the Lord is an indicator of, and sometimes your attitude as well, is an indicator of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's one of the main things we've tried to preach in this church. You need to understand that it is a relationship. How many of you know what a relationship is? Does anybody? Raise your hand. You know what a relationship is. Now, you don't have to be married to raise your hand. You have relationships with people. It's the interaction you have with people or God. Specifically this morning, we're talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so often, we don't realize that our relationship to him is very similar to other relationships in what is needed on both sides of the relationship. But with this in mind, knowing that knowing Jesus Christ and interacting with him and having a relationship with him is an all-important thing, we also have to realize that some of our thinking, some of our traditions, some of our attitudes, some of our ideas that we have lead us away from a good, solid relationship with Jesus Christ if we're not careful. And the Lord is very faithful to try to keep you on track. Have you ever noticed that? You know, you want to go do something like this, and the Lord says, no, that's not wise for you to do that. You want to go do this? No, don't do that. It's not wise for you to do that. And he'll continue to speak to you. And do you know how he will speak to you? You'll come to church, and the pastor doesn't even know what's going on in your life. The pastor will start reading your mail and talking to you about what's going on in your life and not even knowing you specifically or going through that. But God will use that message or that word or that preaching to talk to your heart and tell you, look, this is not the thing to do. I want you to do something different. I want you to be different. And so that's a way. Sometimes a friend, not even a Christian, sometimes a friend will come to you and say, hey, you know, I've noticed something that you're kind of heading in a direction. I don't think that's a good direction for you to go. Any number of ways God has sent the boat to rescue you. You may have been waiting for the divine chariot to come roaring down, but he sent a raft, he sent a rowboat, and he may have sent the Coast Guard. But you were waiting for the fiery chariot to come down and rescue you. You understand now what I'm talking about? So often we thwart the work of God in our own lives. And we don't have to worry about the devil messing our lives up. We can do a good job ourselves. Amen? Here's the greatness about that. I mean, going through all that is not a good thing. I hope you understand that. But here's the awesome thing about God. Even when you make the biggest of mistakes, our God is not a religion that we serve, rules that we obey. They're all good. Doctrines that we believe. All of this means absolutely nothing if God cannot reach down and put his arms around us and relate to us, relationship with us, and infuse our lives with power to be an overcomer of whatever mistakes or situations we may have gotten ourselves into. The one thing about that is difficult for Christians is the religious side of it. It's the church side of it. Have you ever noticed when somebody that's been serving the Lord and goes to church, been faithful to the church, doing all those kinds of things, runs amok in something that they decided to do and it was bad and it may even have been open sin or whatever? Have you ever noticed that the place they don't go to is the very place they need to go to? And the reason they don't go to that place is because they're afraid of what the people in that church that they've been attending and fellowshipping with might think about them because they fell short in what God had expected of them, or they may have sinned. The church should be the place where the relationship with God is visible. And the power that comes from knowing that will set us free. Are you still with me? Aren't you grateful that God is not a set of rules, a set of commandments, but that they only reflect who he really is, a great and awesome God who can create the universe, but he's also the same God who can carry you when you're going through difficulty and wants to and does not condemn you even when you fail him? What kind of God is that? All the other gods I ever read about are the gods that when you disobey them, he fries you. Our God loves us. Love is the center focal point of all relationships. Did you know that? The Greeks had it right. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. You're wanting that scripture. Put your finger on chapter 8 and I'll get there in about an hour. Greeks had it right. Americans or English don't have it right. We have to add additive words to the term love in order for us to understand what is being said. You see, I don't know if you realize this, and if it sounds like I'm being condescending, forgive me, I don't mean that. But perhaps you understand this when I say I love my little wiener dogs, and I say I love my wife. You know that's two different things, don't you? Okay, I don't want to sound condescending. If I say I love my 57 Chevy and I love my kids, you understand there's a difference there, right? In the Greeks, they didn't add words to love to define love. Love was expressed in certain terms. Phileo love is like you and I. We have brotherly love. You know, we're really good friends. We have a good bond. And that's called phileo, a brotherly kind of love. If they have eros, that is the kind of love that a husband has in proper context with his wife. It's that romantic kind of love. And phileo and eros, we understand by their definitions what kind of love it is. When you talk about agape, that's a spiritual love that is best illustrated by God's love for us and our love for him. So the Greeks had it right. For you and I say, I love everything. I love pizza. You don't love pizza. You don't have a relationship. Well, Billy may have a relationship with a pizza. I'm not sure. He's got his hand raised back there. So he might have there may be a real love there. I don't know. But when the Bible uses terms, and you can find several places in the scripture where that's deeply related, the whole concept of Jesus' discussion with Peter at that time when he's talking to him, Peter responds in all kinds of ways, but not in the right way. Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? And he's asking Peter, do you agape me? Do you have that relationship with God kind of love for me? And Peter continues to respond, no, I phileo you. We have a brotherly love. And he says, no, I phileo you. You know I phileo you. And finally, at the last, when Jesus presses him again for the last time, do you agape me? Finally, Peter says, yes, Lord, I agape you. And you don't even see that when you read in the scripture. He says, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. That's all you see in the scripture as you read it in English. And what we need to understand is that every time Jesus teaches people anything about God, he uses relational terms. Why? Because there's power in relationships. Am I making any sense? Let me show you something this morning it's just a weird kind of interaction, because when we read it for what it says and realize what's actually taking place, it makes us wonder as Christians, are we really getting it? Because listen to this. In about the 30th verse of the 8th chapter, listen to what this exchange is. He says, he's having a conversation, an interaction. He's actually kind of preaching and teaching disciples and people openly when the Pharisees, they like to put him to death, but they haven't quite got the guts to do it yet. But listen to what it says. And these verses, because I think it's a very important thing that's going on here. And it may help you in your relationship to Jesus Christ. Verse 30, as he spake these words, listen to what the latter part of this verse says, many believed on him. Let me pause for a second. We emphasize that. We encourage that. When Abby preaches and 62 young people make a decision for Christ, that's what we're talking about.
They came to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. In fact, as you read on through this conversation, and we won't have time to go any read a bunch of the scriptures for you, but you can kind of peruse through it at a later time, or while I'm sharing with you, you can read on, and you'll understand this interaction, this intercourse that's going on between the Pharisees and the followers and the believers and Jesus is a very interesting one when you read it to conclusion. But he says, as he spoke these words, what words? Well, the previous words, verses 28 and 29, when the Son of Man is lifted up, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but I do what the Father sent me to do, and so forth. And he does what will be pleasing to the Lord. Well, many people believe on him because of that. Now listen to verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews, listen to me, to those Jews which believed on him. This is what he says to them. Those, what he spake, many people responded and believed in him. And so Jesus addresses those who believe. Now he's addressing people who just made a decision for Christ. If you continue in my word, are you listening? If you continue in my word, if you don't violate my word, if you obey my word, you respect my word, you live out what my word says, then are you my disciples indeed. Right. But I like that. Indeed. He lays that on. And then listen, the latter part of verse 32 is the conclusion of that sentence. And ye shall know, listen to me, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, that you learn from being a follower of his word, an obeyer of his word, the truth that you know shall make you free. Amen. Yeah, give God a hand for that. That's awesome. What a promise. That is more than exciting to me. Because over the years of being a Christian and the years of being a pastor, most of the struggles people have that are in a following Christ sort of way, they may manifest themselves in all manners of things that may be wrong for a person to do. I'm a Christian. I blew it. I did this. I blew it. Most of the problem that creates this manifestation is a problem with the relationship. Are you following me? Can I get real straight with you? Are you able to take this? And I say this with great love and compassion. Husbands don't leave wives just because they accidentally stumble and meet some other person. If a man leaves his wife, he's actually drawn away of his own passions. Same thing for a wife, whatever. But what I'm talking about, that whole thing could have been avoided, Christian or not, had the relationship been worked on. Now, that's not 100% true because, you know, there's always going to be an exception to that. And you could come to me after church and say, you know, I know an exception to that, brother. I don't care. I'm trying to make a point, and I want you to understand something. For the most part, it's a relationship problem. It may grow and fester and become cancerous and eventually lead to this problem, okay? But until or before that happens, somewhere in that relationship there is a breakdown. Somewhere there is a trust issue. There is a relationship area that has been neglected or abused or whatever. And you can have every right in this country now to say, hey, I'm in a bag. I don't need this. I'm out of here. And many, many people do that. But the sad thing is many, many Christians do that. And that tells me then, if that's the case, that tells me then that it's not just a relationship with the two. That tells me there's a relationship with the Lord that's in trouble, that has a problem. Now, any people in this congregation that's gone through that know that I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have not, you can still relate. You know what relationships and how tough it is to have good relationships for a long period of time. Jesus' goal for all marriages is to last forever. We know that. But let's just be real honest. Life throws things at you. The devil throws things at you. And you throw things at yourself. that puts you in a situation where your relationship may be in jeopardy. And I could go through a whole list of things you should not do because that ain't good for your relationship. But believe me, it would be not even beneficial to you if I gave you the list. Because if you're in the middle of a relationship problem and you are a Christian, the first thing you should do is go to the Lord and let Jesus Christ begin to deal with your personal heart and problem. Because if I go into the Bible, and you know what's so cool about the Bible? The reason I'm saying these things is because I know that's what the Bible says. Yes, I remember back in the garden. You remember back there, oh, Adam and... Does everybody remember the story of Adam and Eve? Eating bananas or whatever it is they ate to violate God, whatever the fruit was. I got no clue. Might have been fruit cocktail for all I know. But they ate something and violated God. So whatever the fruit was, use your imagination. But if you'll remember, during the discussion with God, both of them, the husband and the wife, blamed somebody else for the problem. This woman that you gave me. Wait a minute. It wasn't the woman's fault for the decision you made. And vice versa, the same thing she made. Oh, the snake. Well, I blame the devil all you want to. But if you do something wrong, you made that decision. Now, I say that to emphasize relationship a great deal because that's one we can all get a grasp of and an understanding of, whether by experience or by observation. It makes no difference. But what I want you to understand is that sometimes we're not power Christians because we're not thinking right. And I want to show you a little bit about how to think right. Because one of the things we often do is begin to do the very thing that we know Christ does not do. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, if God does not condemn us, even though we've been ranked sinners before we came to know Him the first time in our first part of our relationship, it still carries through also that He does not condemn us now, even though we've served Him and failed Him and served Him and failed Him. So clearly, Christians who are walking weakly before the Lord, W-E-A-K-L-Y, walking weakly before the Lord, are obviously anemic, and they don't have the power that's available to them through Jesus Christ. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Listen to what follows this verses. Some of you have already jumped ahead, haven't you? You brilliant theologians. Listen to this. They answered him and said what? Now listen, he said, you're going to be set free. If you follow me, you follow my words, you'll be set free. Listen to what he says. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in bondage, or even if I'm deluded in my thinking, and even if I have traditions and ideas, even if I have another religion that I'm following, and it's the same God, but it's a different obedience and following laws and rules and all of that. Even if that's the case, if somebody tells me you can be free of all the restrictions, of all the don'ts, of all the things that prevent you from doing some of the things you'd just like to do, I think I'm going to try to follow that freedom, don't you? Now listen to this. They answered him. Who answered him? The believers that he spoke to, the Jews that believed on Jesus, they answered and said this, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Let me pause for a second. That's a complete lie. There has been no people on earth that has been more subjugated and put in bondage than the Jewish people. History will tell you that those people, they were right now talking to Jesus while they were being occupied by the Roman army. They are deluded. You still with me? Listen, how sayest thou, we shall be made free? Wait a minute. Listen to what Jesus says in response. Now, these are people who listened to what Jesus said, believed on Him, and He gives them instructions on how to continue in being a strong Christian. And now they want to argue with Him. Let me ask you something. When you have difficulty in your commitment with Christ, I'm going to ask that question this way. Everybody close your eyes and bow your head. And anybody who has ever argued with God, raise your hand. Okay, so I didn't want you to be embarrassed. I'm just trying to keep you cool this morning. So anyway, the point, how many times has God told you something and you argued with him? You debated with him. He tells you, listen, you can have this ability to walk upright before me, righteously before me, with strength of character, with strength of integrity, with strength of purpose. You can walk with me with my help, with my grace. And should you stumble, my grace will be there to help you and pick you up and encourage you and forgive you if forgiveness is necessary, restore you if restoration is necessary, deliver you if deliverance is necessary, but set you on the right path again. I'll be there in case you stumble, just in case. I'll be there to help you with that. And you want to argue with him. Here's a guy that's telling you, look, you can be free of all that religious do and don't. And walk under the leadership in your heart being committed to Christ. And you want to argue. And you want to deny. And you want to embrace your traditions over an opportunity to be a free person, a new creature in Christ Jesus? You want to sacrifice what you've just accepted and received and the freedom and the benefit and the blessing that comes from that? You want to sacrifice that and go back to your old baggage? It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense, but think about this. When you have been your weakest, I'm going to say something and you may not even recognize it. When you have been your weakest, God's voice has been the loudest.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Pastor.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I'd really like to do this. It was awful fun when I did that. God is shouting in your spirit. He's yelling at you. Don't do that. You know. Anyway, he can to get your attention. He does that. Why? Because he knows if you yield to that weakness, he knows the destructive forces that are, and the weakness is going to get weaker. You're going to get weaker before the Lord. And what he wants, he's described, he wants you to walk in the Word, live in the Word, live in his instruction, live in his guidance, live with his help. Believe me, there are times of decision process when it's difficult to know what God wants you to do. I understand that. I do understand that. There are times that God does things in our lives and he's making a major move in us spiritually or whatever, that sometimes it's hard to understand what God is doing. But one of my famous statements, in fact, I even used it, I kind of dumped it on the graduates yesterday. Here is a Connor doctrine of Christian success. When you're in that position, when you don't quite know what to do, go with what you know. Not what you don't know. And if you know the word is true, and you know that God is never going to lead you astray, God is always going to put you on the right path, he's always going to help you, go with that. Don't argue with him. Don't try to persuade him, change his mind. Just obey him. And you'll discover that you'll get stronger and your weaknesses won't be as a greater temptation to you. And you'll find that you'll be an overcomer of these issues that may have been destructive in your life. You overcome them by the word. Yeah, that's been preached by 10,000 years. Read the Bible and it'll tell you what to do. Yeah, we know that. But when you're in the midst of the cloud, what scripture do I go to? So you need the voice of God to be speaking to you in the midst of the cloud. And by the way, he's shouting, you're just not hearing. So it's not an issue on God's part. It's on an issue that we tend. This is what we tend to do. We don't tend to go with what we know in the Lord. We tend to fall back on what we knew. Otherwise, why would these guys be arguing with Jesus? And lying right to his face. Huh? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Has anybody ever lied to God? Oh, I'm the only one? I even had my eyes shut out of respect for you. You know that you've tried to persuade him, and you know all along in your heart you're lying like a dog. Oh God, let me just date this girl and I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know you're lying. God, I need a new car. If you just give me a new car, I'll just do whatever. I'll even drive it to Africa if you want. You know you're lying. Amen. More importantly, for those of you that really want God in your life and really want to follow him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, you really want to do that, you become powerless unless you get rid of the baggage. Release the baggage. You know, sometimes when we pray for folks in the altar during worship, one of the things I pray for, God, just help them just let go of this baggage. Let go of this issue. Let go of this, sometimes it's bad relationships. Let go of this relationship. Let get this out of my life. It's an interesting phenomena in Christianity that people that serve the Lord a good length of time have a tendency to want to get everything figured out so that they can control the circumstances. And ultimately, they think they can control God. Am I hitting anybody? You can control the circuit. I know the right doctrines. I know salvation is through Jesus Christ by faith. I'm justified by faith. I know that he was born of a virgin. I know that he comes straight from God. He is the second person of the Godhead. I know all the doctrines of the church. So I got this all right. And I know what God does in a service. I know how God moves in a service, and I know what God expects of me. And so I know all these things, and I've got all these little quackers in a row. And because I've got everything, all my ducks in a row, I got them all together. I'm believing the right doctrines. I'm believing I'm going to the right church, the coolest church on the planet. I'm going to Christian Worship Center, and I know I got everything together. Then ultimately what you're telling God is that you're in control. And not God. And what ultimately happens is, I'm convinced in the midst of a conversation, these people believed and gave up their belief in the same time. Because if you read on, the discussion is still with these people, and then later includes other religious people as he discusses this. I saw that in the scripture and I thought, for the love of Pete, how many Christians do I know that have started out with a great fervor and a great zeal? Just, man, it just seemed like they got it. They figured it out. Just be obedient and trust God. When trouble comes, trust the Lord. Keep your head down. Just barrel through it and you'll get through it. And on the other side, you'll be stronger and better and all these things. They got it. And I've actually watched Christians go through horrendous things in their lives. Make it through. Serving the Lord. And over the stupidest thing in the world, they stop going to church and stop serving Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I know I'm singing to the choir because you're all here. But if you stop going to church, you have a serious spiritual problem. Serious. And that's not... Hey, if you don't want to come to this church, that's your choice. I got some great ushers, but they don't pack weapons. And they don't have the booklet of faithful and unfaithful. And go out during the week and strong arm people to come to this church. You are free to come or not come on your own basis. But I want you to understand something. If you're not in fellowship somewhere, you're weak.
That's it.
And you are vulnerable. And you're in a place where the enemy or yourself alone, without the help of the enemy, will bring destruction into your spiritual life and then eventually your secular normal life. How do I know that? These guys gave it up in a second. Oh man, we'll be free. Wait a minute, we've never been in bondage. What really does that? What? So what? You're the children of Abraham, and you've been in bondage to everybody. Babylonians, Chaldeans. You guys, even today, they've been in bondage. Up until 47, they were in bondage. These people have always been in bondage. They don't, no, and that might be a clue to us. I think these people were comfortable being in bondage so much that they denied it. They were in bondage so often they didn't know what freedom was. Are you still with me? Listen to me. Doesn't matter if you're a young Christian, older Christian. Makes no difference whatsoever. Don't worry about the ducks. Worry about the relationship. If you can get your heart right with Christ, everything else will get in order. And I'm wondering, man, I've seen these people and I'm going to be honest with you, I've been in that position a few times. There have been situations that have frosted my cupcakes enough to where, man, my attitude was not good. I was dreaming about, have you seen that commercial? It's Geico commercial, that guy, hey, is the pen mightier than the sword? Have you seen that one? You know, Geico insurance thing like that? This guy, the sword, you know, and he's standing there, he's going to whack this guy with the sword. The guy gets a box from the FedEx and he signs for it, opens it up, and it's an electronic zapper, and he just zaps the guy and fly. Man, I think those guys that think up those commercials are geniuses. That is brilliant. And so sometimes when my cupcakes are getting frosted, I just dream about one of those weapons. And I drive down the road, especially if I get road rage, I drive down the roads and I just dream about, man, if I could get a bumper just big enough and strong enough out there pointed, and I just zero in on those people, man, that are driving 20 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and I'm thinking, if I could just bump them a little bit, get them off the road. Of course, I do that while I'm praying, Lord, bless them, while I bump them off the road, you know. There's a way to do things and a Christian way to do things, you know. You can just blast them or you can just pray for them as you blast them, you know. But think about these guys. They have the Son of God tell them how to be free from religion and walk in liberty in a relationship with Him. You don't even have to weigh that, do you? You have to weigh that? But think about it. Baggage. It may not be religious baggage. It could be. Some of us may have religious baggage. The one thing that's great about religious baggage is that Jesus can eliminate it in just a moment if you just believe. But personal baggage, that's a little different, isn't it? And you know what makes it so difficult for Christians to walk a powerful Christian walk? They can't forgive themselves of the baggage they're carrying that Jesus took off of their shoulders once and they picked it right back up. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I don't think you have to go to church to love Jesus. You can love God. You don't have to go to church. Folks, people that love God and don't go to church, you know where they go? They go to hell. Hello? By the way, that's the Bible. I'm just the reporter. They go to hell. Because you get out there thinking that you are walking well with Christ, you're carrying your own baggage, and your life and your lifestyle demonstrates clearly where your heart is. This conversation goes on. You need to read the rest of this conversation. It goes to the end of the 8th chapter. And Jesus clearly says that the thinking of these people is that they can get to heaven, live for Christ, whatever you want to call it. Have to have fellowship with Jesus or Jesus' people. I read in the Bible where the Bible says this church is going to be established on a rock. What's that rock? Peter and his name being changed to rock? No. The rock is the revelation that we can now personally have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, whereby before we had to kill our favorite cow and hope that it covered our sins. We now can leave the religious part behind and embrace a relationship with God, one that Jesus has himself. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach them is if you love me and you follow me, you are actually loving the Father. Because I came to show you this relationship. I came to show you that the Father loves me and I love him. And I please him. And oh, by the way, I love you. And if you obey me, you will please me. And oh, by the way, if you please me, you will be pleasing the Father. And these people would rather kill the cow than have a direct loving relationship with a God that does nothing but love them, love them, love them. Is that convoluted thinking or what? Or am I the only duck in the stream swimming in circles? That to me is convoluted thinking. And it's the reason Christianity does not dominate the conversation today. I talked to, you know the wild hare in our church, don't you? Do you know his name? Everybody, all at once. Does everybody know who the wild man in our church is? Just all of it once, just say Dana. I mean, everybody just say who you might think it is. He don't care. He knows I share this stuff about him. Yeah, I was just talking to him on the phone last night. He's over to graduation of his nieces and stuff. And I thought you were still up in Alaska finishing that project you had. And he's telling me, no. So I got done with that. He said, but while I was up there, a cool thing happened. He said, I went to this restaurant. And while I'm in the restaurant, I get in this conversation with the Mormon guy that's up there. He said, there are a lot of Mormons up there. Pastor, what I like about you is you're not in competition with these guys, and so you can kind of have a relationship if you want to. So I've got some really good friends to go fish when they're Mormons, you know. And that's an interesting thought to me, too. Just because somebody is of a different religion, why in the world would you think not to fellowship with them? That don't make sense to me. But anyway, that's just my thinking. That's personal note number 25,000. But anyway. He says he's in this conversation. He starts telling them, hey, look, you're not going to heaven. I mean, he's pretty blunt. You're not going to heaven unless you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And not the church you go to, that doesn't mean anything. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and asked him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven. And they started asking him, what are you talking about? Oh, we know all the teachings of the church, the Mormon church, but we've never heard that. You mean you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, we just thought we served a God that we can't see, but we know his name, kind of like Zeus or Apollo or something like that. The reason that they were so enamored with this is that they'd never read that. You see, they don't read the Bible. And so they don't know the simple way to know you have eternal life. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will have eternal life. And so he's telling, before long, the whole restaurant is asking him questions about how to get saved. And what do you have to do? What's this all about? We've never heard this. And so he tells him, as only Dana could tell him, and I'm going to tell you the way he would do it, but it's a little cruder than the way I would do it. But hey, you know, it's just, hey, who cares? God will use anybody to get the message out. He'll use Dana. Praise the Lord. He said, the waitress came up to him and she said, well, what church or religion are you? And he said, well, I'm a carpet-eating, a pew-biting, full-blown Pentecostal. She stepped back and said, I've never seen one of them. He said, well, yeah. He said, I've just been filled with God's Holy Spirit, and I'm excited about that. And he said, in fact, if you just accept Jesus Christ, I can lay my hands on you, and you'll begin speaking in tongues as the Spirit fills you. She looked at him and said, don't touch me. I'm thinking, man, the missionaries we send out, I'm not so sure about them. But is that not awesome? I mean, you got to grasp the idea That it is not just relationship. Even that is not sufficient to describe what God has in mind in this interaction that he has with us. It's not just creator created. You know, it's not painter painting. That's not all it is. If that's all it is, then you can go ahead and believe in evolution if you want to, because it's as good a thing as what I believe. And I know some of you just thought, well, I do believe in an evolution. You mean Christians don't believe in evolution? This Christian doesn't, but that's just me. I'm weird anyway. But this relationship is deeper than the one I can have phileo. It's deeper than I can have, where's my wife? Eros. This relationship is agape. I want to be a real adult here and tell you something. Spiritual relationship with God goes deeper than any relationship you've ever had. Relationship with God is when your spirit, are you listening to me? Your spirit communes with God's spirit directly. If that one's not right, they ain't nothing right.
Amen.
I think that's a bad word and a double negative, so that may not be right either. But and I think what the Lord is trying to instill in his people, to walk a power walk, it will be visible in your life. And if you're not seeing the fruit and the evidence of that, you need to check the agape relationship. Somewhere, there may be a disconnect. And you may need to reconnect with the Lord. You know, one of the wisest things pastors do, and we do it here as well, is to periodically give you opportunities to have some moments in the service of reflection. I think there's some of the greatest things happen in those sacred moments, and we're going to have one in just a minute. Those sacred moments when we pause and we don't hear the music, we don't feel the people around us, we just go into that spiritual place where we open ourselves up, Lord's examination if necessary, but mainly we open ourselves up to just love the Lord from our spirit to his spirit. I'd like our ushers to come forward at this time. One of the designs, I think, of God's, Jesus' effort to have something that you could look to as a symbol and a reminder of the value of the relationship. You may not put much value on yourself, but God puts a tremendous value upon you. You may condemn yourself, beat yourself up, criticize your Christian walk. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not arrived. I'm not there. And Jesus becomes the filter through which God looks. And he looks at a crucified Savior. And the Father looking at you through Jesus Christ, with a thorn of crowns on his head, nailed to a cross, bleeding his life's blood out for you, is the very standard that God looks at you and places the value that he places on you. You may not think you're a very good Christian. You may not be walking a power walk, as pastor may call it. You may be inconsistent. You may be in church, sometimes out of church. All these things may be true. But did you know something? That never changes God's view of you.
Amen.
He always cherishes you. He loves you. Oh, you may fall short of his expectations and all that kind of stuff. Falling short of expectations does not keep you out of heaven. And the main reason is because Jesus showed God how valuable you are by trading his life for your sin. And he left us in the church with a symbol of that, to remember that. Oh, don't make it a religious thing. Make it a relational thing. How do you make communion a relational thing? I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out the elements. And in just a few minutes, I'll explain that to you as we conclude the service with communion today. Morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We are free. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you walk out of this church, you're not the same person. You're walking out brand new. Amen? I don't care if you've been serving the Lord 50 years. That don't matter. You're new today. Walk in the victory. Will you do that? God bless you this morning. Father, we thank you again for your presence, your power, your blessing, your grace. Have your way in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.